This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit, Pailuis Inchpesek. Chris, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Jono, how are you?
Good to have you back on the show, my friend.
It's good to be back. Feel at home again.
Well, I tell you what, I got a great show here today. And by the way, yesterday, my buddy, Drew, he loved Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I said, he's over there. He's getting all excited. And I said, what's going on? He goes, Chelsea's playing and just destroying this team. I go, destroying what team? He goes, I don't know, some team from Azerbaijan. I go, that's that Karabakh team.
Yeah.
And I was so damn thrilled. And Drew said to me, it's 6-0. 6-0. It opened season
number.
On those pricks.
Fantastic.
I hate them. So this is great. They got abused yesterday by Chelsea. I wish Armenia would just abuse a team like that. I think when Armenians do it, it's some Caribbean team. Some Caribbean team we beat by 7-8 goals.
Well,
after they probably had a flood too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. They all had to swim to the game. That's terrible.
Anyway, yeah, that was pretty bad though. Hey, Chris, I think we're going to have a pretty good show today.
Exciting show, yeah.
We've got Adrine Mirzayan on the phone. She's going to be popping up and telling us a little bit about The Last Inhabitant.
Yep.
This is the movie that I went to go see at that Golden Apricot.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, they had me take pictures with all of them too, and I felt like the red carpet guy.
Well,
I am.
As it should be.
Yeah. Anyway, it was beautiful, and they're still promoting the movie. And we've got our Anush.
Yeah.
Anush is going to give us little updates on the wine and how that's coming along. And so it's a good show. It's a good show. I hope you guys enjoy it.
It's a good day to come back.
Hey, Chris, our guest for this week. I'm really excited because this is my friend, too, and I went to see the whole Last Inhabitant, the movie. And it's Adrine Mirzayan, and she's the executive producer. It didn't end. It didn't end when... It was like, I guess about a year ago, something like that, at the Golden Apricot in Armenia. But these guys have still been pushing this movie, and they're making some headwaves. And we've got Adrine on the phone right now. Adrine, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing fine. I'm doing fine. You're back in the States. And what has been going on, man? I mean, I love this movie, and you guys have been pushing it.
Yep. So there's been so much going on with the film, especially since we last saw each other in Armenia after Golden Apricot. The film was considered at Golden Globes for 2017. There's a really nice article about the film on the Golden Globe website that talks about Nagorno-Karabakh, and this is where the film was actually produced. It was the production took place in Karabakh and Artsakh. And then after that, we were accepted in the Shanghai International Film Festival, the non-competition program. So that was another great way to get exposure. And then after that, I just literally got back from Venice. We were also included in their program. It's called the Venice Production Bridge. Again, non-competition, but again, it's a great way to get exposure in these A-class film festivals. So we're now back in L.A.,
Adrine, you mentioned competition. Tell the people out there, what's the competition about? I mean, is it someone that grades the movie, and how's that work?
Yeah, so the major festivals have competition and non-competition. So competition are those people who've been around a very long time. So, for example, when we were in Venice, the film Mother, where Javier Bardem plays in it. So these are people that have been in the industry for for a very long time. So there's a jury that actually votes, and there's a specific way they vote on these films. So they all compete against each other. So, I mean, eventually our goal with our director, Jivan Avadisyan, who's already working on his third feature film, that's our goal. You kind of have to go through the process of these festivals for the jurors, for the programmers to know who you are as a director and understand your resume and understand what you have that it takes to be a distinguished filmmaker. In a sense.
Right, right. I still think, though, and Chris, you might side with me on this, is that there might be bias towards what a person, what a judge wants to see. And it's almost like, I hate to use the terminology, but I was watching last night on NBC, CNBC, they were showing the dog competition, and it's if a judge prefers this type of breed, he's going to go with that breed no matter what.
No question about it. Yep.
So it's kind of a tough call on that.
Well, yes and no, because if you're from the actual industry and you've gone to film school, and, you know, that's your actual profession, there are a lot more things they look at than just going by their own feelings. So even The Last Inhabitant, and you may see it as a film, and you're going to say, it's an art house film, so it's not going to be in everyone's favor, right? They're going to say, oh, it's a little slow, it's a little, you know, I wish there was a little bit more action. But that's our personal preference. But if you look at it from an art perspective and someone who's a film critic, obviously those judges have seen that in this film, and that's why they included it in the Shanghai Film Festival or Venice Film Festival or the Golden Globes. Do you see the difference?
Right.
Sure.
Right. How do you get invited to all these festivals?
Well, you apply. There's a website called Film Freeway. There's over 4,500 festivals that are registered and part of this Film Freeway. So it just makes it easier for filmmakers to actually apply to these festivals. Now, the A-class festivals are not necessarily part of that Film Freeway. What you want to essentially do is start off on the top. The top eight film festivals are your Cannes, your Toronto, Tribeca, Sundance, and then after that comes the A-class festival, which is your Shanghai, your Venice, Carlo Vivari. There's different types of festivals that you want to get into. I mean, the point is really you have to push the film forward. Use social media to the maximum so people can see what you're doing. And that's how we got picked up for Venice. So the Italians, that's how they saw us on social media and started following us on our Facebook page, The Last Inhabitant Facebook page. And that's how we got included in the Venice Film Festival.
Wow. Wow. So there's a lot of marketing that you guys are doing right now.
You have to. One of the things that you have to do is use marketing to the maximum as far as social media is concerned. The other thing that really has shown and people have been really impressed by us is that there is a team of us that travel to these festivals. Myself as an executive producer, obviously the director, the co-producer who's from Lithuania, and sometimes the talent. So Sandra, who played Jurga in the film, she's also Lithuanian. She joined us in Venice. So our next stop, we have obviously our release is coming up this Friday here at Pacific Theaters at Americana. But the next film festival that now we've been actually included in the competition is the Scandinavian International Film Festival in Helsinki. There's 11 films now in competition, and ours is one of them. And the competition in Scandinavia and Helsinki, the competition is based on human rights and so forth. I think that's a big reason why our film got selected for competition.
And you know what, with the political climate in this world right now, it's kind of like an ideal movie for a scene like that.
Yes, it is. But at the same time, you know, after Venice, I mean, John, if I tell you, I mean, we made so much noise in Venice that Azerbaijan actually picked up on our film. Wow. And they they already released a video anti that what we were trying to accomplish, and basically we were anti-Azerbaijani at Venice, and that was not our purpose. Our purpose is we obviously, as Armenians, we want peace in that part of the world.
Right.
We've had enough of this war, and we're using art to get our message across. So, yes, there is some pushback on the other end.
Yeah.
So.
How is that anti-Azeri movie, though? It's two people trying to coexist. And I think Javon made it clear that, we have to have peace in that region. It had nothing to do with Armenian standing proudly over the Azeris or anything like that. It's beyond me that I wonder if they even watched the movie.
That I was just going to say, chances are they haven't. They automatically assume that we went to bash them. You know, that's what they assumed. And I'm there with you. I'm pretty sure that they did not see the film. But if you see the video that came out of Azerbaijan, you would be very surprised. So.
Unreal.
I'll share that with you.
Yeah, please
I'll share
do.
That with you.
Please do.
Yeah.
I mean, with the movie, The Promise, they spent tons trying to make this movie bad and on the critic side and all that. And before the movie even came out and before even anyone's seen it. So, you know, I kind of see you guys having to deal with that issue as well.
Yep, but we're not giving up. We're pushing as much as we can. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, and we're looking at it more from an art perspective than political. I mean, anything that comes along with being political, we don't get involved. We were in Shanghai, and the viewers asked us a lot of questions about the conflict, about how Armenians are living today. There were a lot of great questions, and it's a great way to educate our viewers, and that's what we've been doing. We've been educating them.
Bravo.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
It's amazing that it's went past. I think, you know, the last inhabitant has also been a key to awareness, you might say, around the world for people to understand what's going on over there. So it's beautiful.
Yes. Yes, it's brought a lot of exposure to our thought, that's for
right.
sure.
Right. How's Javon been? I mean, he's gotta be pulling hair by now, man. I mean, he's been doing these festivals, and he's got to keep that smile on his face and answer everything that he can.
Yep, we flew back together from Venice because, like I said, we have our release this Friday at Pacific Theaters. We have a special night, the opening night at 9:10 showing. We have a special presentation, special guest appearances. And then the week after that, we have a release in Costa Mesa and Whittier, September 22nd through 24th. So we're hoping that, you know, viewers will come out and support a film from Artsakh, you know, support an art house film and see what we're all about.
I think we are an Armenian show. This crowd is Armenian, and folks out there, this is important. This is important for Armenians to go out there. I mean, just don't blow it off and say, you know what, I'll wait for this, I'll wait for that. That's just doesn't work. You guys got to get out there and support people like this. And, you know, the movie, The Last Inhabitant, I watched it. Wasn't a bad movie at all. I mean, me, myself, I'm looking for the Armenians to raise the flag and take the hill like a John Wayne type. But this movie, Chris, was more about just the interaction between two village people that once knew each other as friends.
Absolutely.
But now it's come to a war between two countries and how they're living together. And I think that's more realistic than anything out there. And you guys out there have got to support something like this.
I completely agree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
So are we headed to possibly, where's the next country that we're, you have not mentioned yet to me that maybe you guys are headed down to South America somewhere, because we have a large Armenian community down there as well. Any festivals down there?
Yes. Well, we've applied. We've actually applied over 50 festivals, Jono. So we'll see what the rest brings us. Now, I want you guys to be mindful. Yes, it doesn't mean that we've applied to 50 and we're going to get into all 50. But it's also up to us whether we accept once we get in. So, for example, we were accepted to two or three different festivals that we had to decline courteously, obviously, because our goal was to get into a festival. So once
exactly.
we got into Venice,
yeah.
once we got into Venice, we had to decline graciously the other Italian festival that was somewhere south of Italy. So you have to just take it one step at a time and pick and choose your battles and say which festivals do you want to be part of.
Right.
So you don't know until you go through the course. Yeah, maybe it was a waste of, applying to 50 festivals, but you don't know where you're going to get.
Right.
Right? In the process. So you just have to go with the flow.
Now, when I was talking to you in Venice a couple days back, you mentioned
yes.
that, I guess, the mayor or someone came up to mm-hmm. you guys and said, Armenians saved Venice. What was that all about?
Okay, so basically we have this Italian nonprofit organization, Blue Knowledge, that actually was very much interested in our film, so they tag team with us. And Blue Knowledge is very well known in Venice and in Italy, and they have really good partnership with the governor's office as well of Venice. So the president of Blue Knowledge, in an email, quite a few email exchanges before the festival, told me that Armenians had a huge impact, economic impact, in Venice. Since the 9th, 10th centuries, Armenians from Anatolia had major influence on trade. So they're very, very thankful to the Armenians. The Venetian
wow.
people are very thankful to the Armenians because she actually said, the president said, if it wasn't for the Armenians, Venice would not be what it is today. And, you know, we marked the 300 years of celebration on Sunday of San Lazaro Island. And Jivan and I were actually present during that ceremony. And it was breathtaking that, you know, you stand there and you know what impact Armenians had on this place. And one of the most beautiful corners of the universe, Venice, and here you are standing
right.
tall with the Armenian flag and this huge banner that says Armenia on this island. And what was even more beautiful, that the island was on the way to the Venice Film Festival, so everyone saw the flag, everyone saw the banner of Armenia, and people understood how much Armenians had an impact on Venice. And it's very, it's an honor to
well,
be part of that.
Well, you know what? Everywhere, isn't it amazing? Everywhere we go, we
yes.
add something productive to this place, to this world. It's amazing. And I would never have thought Venice, we had some sort of influence on Venice as well. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes. Actually, there is a city called Padua, which is maybe about 45 minutes away from Venice. Padua, if you haven't heard of Antonia Arslan, she's the most famous writer, Italian-Armenian writer in Italy. And she's won the most prestigious Italian awards for her novels. And half that city was owned by her father. It's still owned by the entire family. So you see a lot of Armenian
influence.
Presence in that city, influence and presence. It's incredible. It's incredible. But that's how Armenians are known. Armenians are known as intellectual people, right? They're engineers, doctors, and they've made a huge difference in people's lives. So people are very grateful that Armenians have brought so much to their towns and cities.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I hope this movie has much more influence. Is there any type of deadline? This thing has been going for about maybe a year, year and a half now. Is there
yes.
a date that you guys have put there where this has got to take off by this or that? Anything like that?
Yes. So it's not so much that we've put a deadline. as far as the festivals have deadlines because they obviously don't want to have a film that was produced 5 years ago, right?
Right.
So there's about a year and a half life to a film in festivals. However, we also have a distributor. So once we're going to these festivals, we're meeting with buyers and trying to sell our film. So we do have the Italians that are very interested in the film. So we're hoping the Italians will buy the film and obviously release it across country. And the Chinese people are also interested. So we're hoping that something will come out because obviously that will be the biggest exposure for Artsakh if we were to get these films in mainstream cinemas.
Especially China. Wow. If you guys make a deal with China.
Yes.
Old Jez millionaire.
And if we get only like 10% of their population to see our film, that would be amazing.
Oh, my God. 10% would
think,
be outstanding.
I think it would... impact on tourism because the film has incredible cinematography and you've seen it, John, and breathtaking views. So when people see that, it's like the film Madagascar. Did anybody really know where Madagascar was until the animation came out?
Wow,
I mean, this is just another way to, you know, to increase tourism. It's just for them to see how beautiful Arabal is.
I tell you what, I want to see it again. I want to see it again. And now this is going, maybe we got a festival. Chris, do we have some festival? We had some festival here in St. Louis where we had that one movie with
Saint
Chris
Louis
Chambers.
Film Festival.
Yeah, St. Louis.
St. Louis International Film Festival.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, if you guys want to toss that name out there too, I'll fill that place up. I'll get everyone there. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Anyway, we wish you nothing but the best. Say hi to Javon Avetezian.
I
mean, the guy's a great guy, and he's been working his butt off with the whole group of you guys as well. So where and when can our people go out in the West Coast?
Okay, so September 15th, this Friday at Pacific Theaters Americana in Glendale. It releases, it's for a week, and we have a week already in the theater. However, it all depends how well we do in sales. The first opening weekend, which is this weekend, is the most important one. If we do the sales, then they'll extend us for a second week and then so forth. But as far as Costa Mesa and Whittier, next weekend, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, the 22nd in Costa Mesa will be followed with a Q&A, and then Whittier on Saturday, the 23rd, will be followed with a Q&A.
Okay, and is there a phone number for anywhere that these people can go to get tickets, or do they have to get it at the door?
No, they can purchase it online. Pacific Theaters is fandango.com. The Last Inhabitant, and there's different times, different, you know, obviously prices depending if you're adult or, you know, a child. And then for Costa Mesa and Whittier is Starlight Cinemas.
And, Audrina, is there a site our people can go to about the movie itself?
So we do have a website, thelastinhabitant.com. Or Facebook, The Last Inhabitant.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. And, folks, it's definitely worth checking out again. It's something that I think it's very noble on you and the entire crew and the people that put a lot of effort into this. And it represents us. It represents Armenians. Yeah. And it's not about carrying the flag up there, but it's about awareness. And have your friends go out to it too. If you got an Odar friend that, you know, has been wondering about Artsakh or Karabakh, as they call it, why not get them out there with you and enjoy this movie? And just that, you know, afterwards, they can have questions for you, and maybe both you guys can just say that I did not know this, and this is beautiful. So God bless.
Yeah.
Good job with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Any time. And you know what? I still like to keep updates with you on this. You know, we have a lot of followers in South America, too. Argentina, Brazil. If there's anything down there, they'd love to possibly check this out as well. All right, Audrina, you take care. It's been great.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Thank you.
It's amazing that... these folks are working their butts off like this, man.
It is. And they're hustling for this movie. Yeah.
Very cool. I wonder, you know, I didn't ask her because, you know, it's out of line, but they got to be spending some cash, too, on something like this.
Marketing anything like this, it's expensive.
And from going from one place to another, having your people there, too. So, yeah, they're spending money, and it's well worth it, folks, that you guys go out there and definitely represent and help out the last inhabitant here. And Jovan Avetisyan, he's been working his butt off with his whole crew, including Audrina Mirzayan. Hey, Chris, speaking of, you know what?
Yeah.
I got that home theater now. I got that home theater, and every time I...
Talk about a good way to watch this movie.
Oh, my God, dude. I can't wait for you to come over and fix this, put this whole thing together.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and Chris, we bought everything from Amazon.
Yeah.
From Armenia Proud. We went to Armenia Proud. I kind of gave myself my own plug.
You
here.
Went to armeniaproud.com/Amazon. It's amazing, right. And it worked.
Just don't tell our marketing people that it was purchased by me.
Yep, we won't. Just make sure the show gets their piece.
definitely. All right, my friends. Hey, check out, like I was just saying, go to armeniaproud.com, and on your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on there like I did. Like I was part of the group here of Armenia Proud, and I bought stuff on Amazon. I bought the cables. You got me to buy those big cables there. Well, unbelievable. Anyway, do that for us. It's a little plug. It helps us out too. Keeps the lights on, so we appreciate all your love. Hey, Chris, it's time for our wine segment. We haven't had a wine segment in a while here.
It has been a minute.
Anoush and Mariam, they've been doing things out in the West Coast, putting videos and interviewing people. And I said, you know what, Anoush, we're missing the wine segment. And she said, Jono, I will come on.
Right back with you.
I'll come right back with you. So without further ado, we've got Anoush Garibyan O'Connor, our wine expert, on the phone. How are you, Anoush?
Hi, guys. I'm here.
Anoush, with the latest, by the way, how you doing? How rude of me not to say how are you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing well. So it's good to talk to you.
Good. Good to talk to you.
What's going on? What's your question?
My question is, with now Whole Foods that have been bought out by Amazon, would the wine prices of, like, even Trader Joe's and possibly, I don't know if Whole Foods, I have not bought any wine from Whole Foods, but they're saying that they're slashing all these prices down to reasonable prices on everything for Whole Foods. Would Trader Joe's follow that up with wines and so forth? I don't know if you have the answer for that, but I think economically speaking, the wine prices should be going down at these type of places that we shop at.
Here is the thing. It's exciting, and I'm not sure, you know, how is it going to work out? But Trader Joe's wine prices are relatively low considered to the other retail stores, and they do not offer any discounts. You know, like if you go to Ralph's, which is Kroger or, you know, whatever it's called, the big grocery stores, they offer this. If you buy 6 bottles, you get 10% off, if you get so and so. So Trader Joe's prices are already pretty low. I don't see them lowering.
Nice.
Now, with the Whole Foods being bought and they are saying that they're going to slash their prices, I am sure that it's going to somewhat impact the wines as well, because sometimes some of the wines can be more expensive at their location because they are considered, you know, more expensive store, and people have more, you know, discretional income who shop in those stores. But at the same time, you know, Whole Foods has a very good discount programs for wines, and like once a year or twice a year they have their clearance event where, or at least in California, where they offer 40% discount on the wines, like any wine. And that was crazy. When I went there, I was doing a tasting at the store, it looked like it was the end of the world. Like, everybody was buying the wine. Mm. The shelves, like, they could not stock them up fast enough. So my understanding is that if they are able to do those clearance events and if they can slash the prices and still make somewhat profit, I can see them lowering the wine prices, which would be good because,
right,
you know, it the lower the price. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, that was my big question. Now let's get back to your format here. What type of wine? What have you been up to? Fill us in.
So today I wanted to talk about this question that I get asked a lot, and a lot of people are excited about the rosé wines. The rosé wines became popular in this past 4 or 5 years. I mean, they became popular in the United States, and it just kind of like exploded. There's like two questions, you know, why is it rosé? Was it called some associated with not such a good quality wine? So I just wanted to give a little brief history and an overview of the rosés, which were the, you know, this is the end of the summer, so they were the hottest thing to drink in the summer, the rosé pink wine. So we had like few episodes back, I talked about, you know, the winemaking process. So the rosé wine is made typically like 90% of the time, it's made from the red grapes. And the red grapes, the inside, the flesh of the grape is white, and the skin is what gives the color. So what they do is they crush the grapes with the skins on, then leave them for a couple of hours, up to a couple of days, and then they strain it, and the juice is pink. Mm. And then they start fermenting it like a regular wine. So that is the main type of the main technique of making the rosé wine. Sometimes, very rarely, but very common in Champagne, they mix the red wine with the white wine. So they and blend the Pinot Noir with Chardonnay.
It's a
rosé too, so they make that in the Champagne. They make it in few other countries, but it's not very common. So when you see a rosé in a bottle, is 90% of the time a red grape, a wine made from the red grapes.
Okay, where in the origins do you find these grapes at?
So the rosé can be made from any red grapes. Rosé can be made all over the world. Every winery that can produce red or white wine, or red and white wine, they can make rosé. But the Provence, a region south of France, is considered the birthplace of rosé. And they actually have the whole region dedicated to the making of the rosé.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So the way that they made it, so it was very prestigious. The kings and aristocrats drank it in the 14th century. But then there was this big widespread disease that came and wiped out the vineyards. Afterwards, that they replanted it and they restarted it even with a better technique. So the Provence, France, is the place where the rosé kind of started, but now everybody makes it. You know, in Armenia they make it. We did one of the cooking segments with Mariam, and we had the very nice rosé from Armenia, from the wine label 6100.
Well, let me ask you this question. You brought up something, catastrophe, and how it affected that particular wine. What we're seeing now with the wildfires, with these hurricanes, has it any bearing on the wine industry right now to what's being put out there?
Not at the moment. Well, there is definitely a warming up of the world. So with the warming, the regions are producing now a little bit different wines. For example, in Europe, in Germany and in France, where it wasn't as warm as it is now, they can leave their grapes for a longer time and they have a less potential of the frost or other disasters that, I mean, no disasters, the weathers that would affect the winemaking. Mm-hmm. So they can hang the grapes on the vines for a little bit longer of time, which results in changing, slightly changing of the styles that they can make, of the additions that they can do to the wine, to the wines. In California, it is also getting warmer, and it is affecting. It's not to the point that you know, like the hurricane with the Harvey, like in Texas. They do have they do grow grapes and vines, but it's more up north, so that wasn't affected. But there was also a very flash storm in Santa Barbara that I saw some pictures and videos. I didn't see any anything closer to the wine country, but it's like in 5 minutes, half of the trees on the street were like broken and slashed, and cars were, the windshields were broken, etc. So now, yeah, it's definitely something that's happening.
Now, on that note too, Anush, does the price change on the future wines, or does it affect what they have in storage ready to be put out in the next year or so that has no bearing on the weather that is happening at the moment?
Well, usually whenever there is a change in the weather, so for example, you know, there is every year, not every year is a perfect year. So if, let's say, in Burgundy or Bordeaux or other places where they do sell the futures on the wines, if they have a hail or if they had a mostly it's like either hail or a frost that comes earlier, the harvest is not as big. Sometimes they won't even make the wines for that year. It would be, you will have the less of the supply on those. So that would drive the price high because, you know, people would want to seek those wines.
Yeah, they're making that year. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's my questioning. Now let's get back to your wine. I needed to know this with all the stuff happening right now in California. And I assume that now there's going to be a hurricane that moves up to Florida. And I'm thinking maybe the wine industry, if there's any in Florida, which I wouldn't think that would be a good spot to have wine, would it? I mean, grapes growing in Florida. I mean, it's nice weather down there, isn't it?
Not particularly too good for the grape growing because they are a little bit different. It's like more like the subtropical or tropical. So, yeah. Okay. But back to the rosé. So we talked about how it's made, how the color is obtained of the wine. And so then the other question, the common question about the rosé people ask me is like, is the rosé sweet wine? Because we have the notion and the perception of that sweet blush wine that were very popular at some point, like the white Zinfandel. And it's also considered to be a lesser quality wine.
Right. Right. I guess when you hear the word rose, you're thinking of a sweet. So that's how I assumed it.
Yeah. So there is some sweet rosé, but the rosé is very, for the most of the part, especially now, when you go to the store, you see like a whole wall dedicated to the rosé wine from different producers. And it can range from those still sweet ones that, you know, appeal to certain customers up to a very dry, from various colors like light pink to almost dark red color. So it's not necessarily, you know, if it's rosé, it can be either sweet, it can be either dry. You have to kind of look at the label and read it. If it says from Provence, France. So that's for sure. We know that it's going to be dry and it's not going to be sweet. And then on the other labels, also from the Spain, it would be mostly dry. So that is another another thing that I wanted to add about the rosé wine.
Okay.
And then also what happened, also why the rosés became very popular, it was the celebrity effect. There was a very popular, like the a bottle that came up, and then with the story behind it, it was Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's wine. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah. Did you see anything like that, Brian? Yeah, he's nodding his head.
Yeah, so yeah, when they, you know, a lot of celebrities, they like to go and, you know, vacation in Europe, and it's hot outside, so on the yacht or wherever, so the perfect wine to drink is a rosé because it's not as light as a white wine, but it's not as heavy as the red, and it also can be chilled. So I guess the couple just fell in love with the wine, and then they bought a winery and they produced it. And after that, it was like they had a very big impact. Afterwards, Sofia Coppola produced her rosé. So that was another kind of a push. Drew Barrymore made her own rosé.
There was a famous rapper, too, a year, 2 years ago. It was even on the Billboard. And while we're driving by with St. Louis, in St. Louis, there was a rapper that was. You're totally right. This thing is taking off again.
Yeah, yeah. It was very popular. So I mean, it is until now popular. There is these two women, two friends, that they really love the rosé, and they started this Instagram account, Yes Way Rosé. They have hundreds of thousands of followers. They make T-shirts. They make totes. It's just their hashtag, Yes Way Rosé. So the rosé has become very popular. And when something becomes popular, you know, the winemakers really pay attention, and they make a really good job in making a wine even better. So, yeah, it's been fun. I have had few events over the summer where I was pouring French rosés, Spanish rosés at different festivals. And it's very interesting to see a lot of people come and ask and really be curious about it. And at an event like that, it's fun because you get to sample not just one type of wine, but bunch. So it was a good opportunity to know, to see the difference, to taste the difference and compare. So it was fun.
That sounds like a great time to me, kicking back and doing samples of wine all day. That's beautiful. With good friends, you can't beat that.
Well, I was working.
They
were sampling.
That's a good job, too. That's a good job, too.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about where we can find, where we can find economical, where we can spend a little bit. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I would suggest, you know, like my general suggestion is go to the local store and like make friends with the local wine person, because they will tell you exactly what's what, because not all the stores carry the same. But I would definitely suggest trying a wine from Provence, France, a rosé from Provence. There's a region called Bandol, and it's actually designated for, they make mostly reds and rosés. So, and they can range anywhere from $12 to $20. They're not very expensive, very affordable.
Very nice.
And at the same time, so one French and then one from Rioja, Spain, which they are also under $22. And those are made from the varietal called Tempranillo, which is the signature varietal of the Rioja region in Spain. So my suggestion would be try those two and see which one you like, and also put in a mix an American one from Sonoma. They make beautiful rosés there too. I mean, like I said, every place makes it. So usually under $22, $25, something. And also one more thing, rosés, although they are very popular in the summer, they are such a versatile wine. So we had, when we did the episode again with Mariam on the food, she made a paella, which had seafood in it, and it paired beautifully. So you can have it with seafood, you can have it with chicken, you can have it with pork. Rosé is actually a perfect wine for Thanksgiving, too. Mm,
that's great. That's great. I love the wine corresponding with the food. I mean, that's the best wine out there for me, that I can eat a little bit and drink it, and, you know, meza time. Armenians love that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so perfect. So try the rosé.
Rosé.
Yes, way rosé, like they say.
And is there a particular brand that we should look for?
Well, if you can find the something Armenian, you know, like the 6100, definitely do. Otherwise, no, just look for those regions, for Provence. In Provence, the Bandol region, and then in Spain, the Rioja region. And typically, it says on the bottle. So no particular label, but the particular region. Those two are really fun to try. Very tasty.
Now, let me ask you this. You brought up the Armenian wine. Is there any way that we can, I'm in the Midwest. Is there any way that we can go to a Trader Joe's or a... local stores here, or a chain type of stores that we can ask for, hey, can you guys order this for me or anything like that? Is that possible?
Not the big chain, but like local specialty stores.
Wow, I would have thought differently. I would have thought the bigger chains would.
The bigger chains, they involve so much link,
right,
where it goes, where it goes through. But when you have a local specialty store,
right,
it's their decision. They just contact the distributor or importer, and then they have it to you very fast. That's the best way to go about it.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I think that, I mean, I would encourage doing that, because for the listeners who are not in LA or not like East West Coast, where it's easier to get those Armenian wines. Go to your local store. Yeah, local specialty store, like small wine shops, and I'm sure like everywhere they have those. You know, the owner is usually the same person who works behind the counter. Just talk to him or her, and, you know, and if anyone is... you know, interested in a particular one, feel free to message me and I'll find the importer or the distributor for the wine, and then, you know, I can help and talk to the owner or whatever and help, hopefully, you know, get it in and try
Excellent.
It out.
Okay. So what particular Armenian brand, though, can we ask for that as well?
The one that I tried, the only one of the rosé that I tried, is at 6,100, and it was beautiful. It was made from Areni varietal, wow. And Areni is the indigenous varietal to Armenia. So it had that nice, beautiful characteristics of a cherry, had good minerality, good acidity, because, you know, it's not as full body as a red wine. So like I said, the process is a little bit different of making it. And it was wonderful. Very nice on a summer hot day, and paired beautifully with the paella that we had.
And it's perfect with the kebabs and the pilaf out there too.
It would be yummy. And it was like $12.
Oh.
$12 or $13. It was very affordable. Very affordable. Yeah.
That's great. That's
so
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
go
I'm in.
Check
I'm
it
in.
Out and order it.
Yep,
yeah.
Definitely. All right, Anush, thank you so much for being on our show. And how do our people find you?
You can find me on my Facebook page. It's called Anush's Wine Page. And I do post other things on the wine-related on the Armenia Proud Facebook page. So just find me there. We can also always you know, just have it in my name. It's Anusha Dibyan O'Connor.
Hit a big like on our page. Let's get some likes
there. Yeah, also questions. I want questions, comments, you know, any questions you guys have about winemaking, wine news updates, I'll be glad to answer.
Well, you know what? Me and Brian here, we're thinking about possibly going to old school wine to where we're just going to take off our shoes and socks and we're just going to step on grapes, we'll walk on grapes for hours. Yeah.
That is not as easy as it may seem. It is a very labor-intensive work.
Yeah. If you've seen Brian and me walking in there, that would definitely be a lot of labor. I'm telling you that right now.
Hey, are you going to Armenia?
Yes, I am. I'm going, I think, next month sometime. So I'm kind of pumped up about that. Our owner here at Lineup Media, he said, you know what? For your birthday, I'd like to take you to wherever you want to go. And I said, well, you know what? I'd like for you to enjoy something that I enjoy so much. And I said, let's go to Armenia. He goes, I'm in. Count me in. Let's do it. So, you know what? That's a good call, too, because I got to talk to him today or tomorrow about when we're going to set this up as well.
Oh, that sounds like fun. You have to go and visit some of the wineries or some of the, you know, wine people out there. And
yeah, message me. Message me. I'll anything you suggest, I'll make it happen. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get all the information I can of whatever we need to look at. Yeah, and maybe meet some people to get them on the show and have some guests. Yeah. Perfect.
While you are there. Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a very exciting opportunity.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All right. Thank you, Anush. And we'll see you next week sometime. If you got anything going next week, let us know.
All right. I will. I'll post it.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, another great show, Chris.
Absolutely.
Another great show.
Yeah,
we hit it off again, and we had The Last Inhabitant with our producer, our executive producer, Adrine Mirzayan. And we've had our Anush Garibyan O'Connor giving us the wine report again.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I was kind of asking her some goofy questions, I know, but with the whole Whole Foods getting bought out by Amazon, I was just wondering about how the prices are going to be from this point on, because I think everything's going down. But like she said, Trader Joe's already has $5 to $10 wines anyway. Yeah. So you know what? We're not going to see anything different there. Well, Chris, that's our show for this week, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jono.
And it's always a pleasure having you back on the show, my friend. And our boards, our producers out there, Brian and Drew, thank you so much. You guys always do a great job. Couldn't do it without them. My friends, stay tuned for next week. We'll have another great show, Genatsit Kisher Party, and check out our past episodes as well at ArmeniaProud.com. Thank you so much.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.